Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Case number 12, 21-397.
23 or
20? What? Did I say 23?
It's 23.
Oh, it says 23 on this. It's 21?
No, it's 23. I think you said 21.
It's 21.
Oh, it is 23?
No, it's 21.
Oh, so everyone's looking. Annette, what is the case number for case
12?
12.
The 397.
The agenda is 21 and the 397 hold.
Oh, 23. This was an expedited case. I'm sorry, 23.
It is 23.
Right, so this is a 23.
397. So the case number is 23-397. Counsel, can you please identify yourself and your witness for the record?
Yes, thank you. My name is Kate Ayers. I'm a staff attorney for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. I'm here representing the state, who is the issuing authority in this matter. Also with me is Officer Michael Lamaro. His last name is spelled L-I-M-A-U-R-O, and he's from Hamden Police Department.
Thank you. Hey, Counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Board members, we're here today because this appellant's pistol permit was revoked for the second time based on suitability grounds in 2022. We intend to show that on September 10th, 2022, appellant's firearm was stolen out of his unlocked vehicle. Additionally, it's come to the issuing authority's attention that the appellant operates an unlicensed security company here in Connecticut. Thank you.
Okay, sir, would you like to make a brief opening statement?
First and foremost, good afternoon, board. And I do hold myself accountable for all things that have went wrong in the situation.
Counsel, you may proceed.
Thank you, ma'am. Officer Lamaro, if you would please state your name and spell your last name one more time for our record.
Michael Lamaro, L-I-M-A-U-R-O.
Thank you. What town are you currently employed by?
Hamden.
And what's your job title there?
Patrol officer.
How long have you worked in law enforcement in total?
About a year and 7 months.
Have you ever worked for a different police department than Hamden?
I have. I work for New Hamden.
Okay. Back on September 10th of 2022, which department were you working for?
New Hamden.
Okay. Were you on duty on that day?
I was.
Do you recall having contact with the appellant seated to my right on that afternoon?
I do.
How was it that you came into contact with him?
We were dispatched for a stolen firearm complaint.
Okay. Where was it that you responded in regard to that complaint? If it was a residence or a business?
It was a house.
Okay, thank you. What happened when you arrived at that house?
The appellant explained that he left his firearm in his truck overnight, and when he came back, he noticed that there was paperwork out of his glove box and realized that his firearm was in there and that it was stolen.
Okay. Do you recall where about the appellant's car was parked at that time, or his truck, excuse me?
It was in his driveway towards the back of the house.
Okay. How did the appellant know that someone must have been in his truck?
The paperwork in the glove box.
Okay. You had said that it was outside of the glove box?
It was outside of the glove box.
Okay. Is that where the appellant said that he had left his firearm was in the glove box?
Yes.
Okay. And now the firearm is gone?
Correct.
Was there any damage to the truck that you observed?
No.
Do you know whether the appellant had locked his glove box when he went in for the night?
There was no lock on the glove box.
Okay. Was the truck itself locked?
No.
Okay. Based on the information you gathered, what did you decide to do?
We issued a misdemeanor summons for unlawful storage of a firearm in a motor vehicle, and we seized his pistol permit.
Okay. Officer, is there anything we haven't touched on that you feel the board should know about your interaction with the appellant?
No.
Thank you. I have no further questions for this witness.
Sir, do you have any questions for the officer based on his testimony?
Absolutely not.
Any other witnesses?
No, ma'am, just the appellant.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Appellant, do you recall filling out a questionnaire for this board in December of last year?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Okay. In that questionnaire, you wrote that you need your pistol permit for work reasons?
Absolutely.
Okay. And in January of this year, you requested that this hearing be expedited if possible, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. You wrote in an email to this board that you own Pardon Me Security Service?
Yes, myself and three other friends of mine.
Okay.
Which is an LLC.
You wrote that you wouldn't be able to get work without your pistol permit, right?
Yes.
But Pardon Me Security is not licensed by the state of Connecticut, right?
So LLC, is that different? LLC is a part of the state of Connecticut, though, isn't that part of it?
Do you have a state-issued security guard card right now?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And so you wouldn't then have a blue card endorsement either, right?
Yeah, so the pistol permit was revoked, and a blue card, once you know, without the pistol permit, of course, you can't get the blue card. Yeah, I had a blue card before when my license was revoked before. I had a blue card. I had a security officer license as well. It was revoked years ago for certain reasons, yes.
For what reasons was it revoked, if you recall?
I was going to say, we're going to ask you that.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
You better jump into it.
Okay, that's fine. That's perfect. I believe in 28, I had a situation, not 28, 2008. I'm sorry. 2008, I had a situation, a misunderstanding with a female friend of mine. We got into a verbal dispute, a little altercation. She put hands on me for about 4 minutes. I would tell her to stop hitting. So I reacted. We both were arrested for assault third. Went to court. I was sentenced to a program called Evolve. I completed the program successfully. Successfully completed the program. Went to court. I was charged with the assault third charge anyway, instead of incarceration. After that, I kind of ran into a snowball in my life. It was dark. Kind of got dark a little bit. I had my pistol permit. Remember, I said that earlier. Pistol permit, blue card, security officer license. Looking for employment. Can't get no employment nowhere, but I have all these valid identifications. I'm trying to find work. Didn't find work, but I lost my license in the midst of that. So after that, it kind of got dark a little bit that I got in trouble. Here, there. So eventually, I did catch a felony offense. I resorted to the streets. I sold narcotics to the streets. I did that, yes. I was arrested in Hampden, Connecticut, where you're actually employed at right now. I'm glad we brought that up. So I was trying to avoid prison. Because as I was going to court, I was trying to avoid prison. Some way, somehow, I ended up in my case with a floor on my sentence, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with a floor. At the time, I wasn't, but a floor is you automatically go to jail. So during that time, during a PSI, that's what it is, a pre-sentence investigation, I'm having a pre-sentence investigation. So the woman that was doing the pre-sentence investigation said to me, these are her exact words, sweetheart, for a first-time offender, I never seen an offer like this in my life. If I sign this paperwork right now, you're gonna go to jail for a long time. So I'm like, oh, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What do you mean? She was like, I never seen this offer right here before. This is what she tells me. So I said, well, I feel as though I wasn't properly represented anyway from a private attorney that I had hired. She said, do you feel that way? I said, yes, I do. I feel this way. She said, well, I tell you what. When you go to court tomorrow, you make sure you fire that attorney. And I can promise you this, you will not go to jail, but you're going to have to come up with another attorney. So I did just that. Fired him, got rid of him, and I came back with another attorney. I have friends in very high positions that I had to knock on a door. I was embarrassed because of the charge that I caught, that I didn't want to knock on those doors. But I said, you know what? My life is in a situation to where there's a possibility I'm going to a correctional institution. So I knocked on those doors. And of course, I have friends in position that, you know, put me in a position to have great representation. So before that, I feel as though I rehabilitated myself before the incarceration had transpired. And what I mean by that is, I contacted the Hamden government, the city that you work for. I contacted them and I asked to speak to their chief, their mayor. At the time was Scott Mayor Jackson. I never really got through. Then one day, they called me and said, you can come in because you have a meeting with the mayor. I said, perfect. So I get to his office. The first word he said to me was, Mr. Gorman, how are you? How can I help you? You were trying to contact me. How can I help you? My first words to him was, I'm here to personally apologize to you for committing the crime in your city. Before that, he told me I had 15 minutes. I said, I'm here to personally apologize to you for committing the crime in your city. That 15 minutes went from 15 minutes to an hour 15 minutes. That was the beauty within that. He says to me, and I explained to him the situation. He says to me, I have a new program that I just started called the Hamden Juvenile Review Board. It's working with first-time juvenile offenders. And I feel as though you will be a great candidate for this program. And I said, do you? He said, yes. What it is that you work with these juvenile offenders who commit these minor offenses like fighting and stealing bikes. So when they're in court, so instead of them getting a juvenile record, they are referred to our program for 3 to 6 months. Upon completion, where I became an outreach worker as well as a mentor for a lot of these young men, upon completion, once they go back to court, this case is dismissed. So that was the good thing in that. So, but I'm still fighting this case though. So I feel as though I was kind of rehabilitating myself without incarceration, but I still ended up going to prison anyway. All right, cool, great. But on the way out of prison, I contacted Mayor Scott Jackson as well in a letter. He wrote me back and said that that position from the Hamden Juvenile Review Board will still be available to you. So once I completed my prison sentence, I went to the halfway house, which is a part of DOC as well. I completed that successfully, but I was volunteering my service for the youth. So after that, here it is, I went up for a pardon. I'm up for a pardon now. I mean, my time has went over, I'm eligible for a pardon. So four of us, my friends and my three other partners were out socializing. And we all was having conversation. I got pardoned, and a friend of mine's got pardoned on the same day. Two of my friends were already pardoned. One of my friends had a vision. He looked around and looked at us, and his vision was, pardon me, security. I said, huh? Pardon me, security. We all been through hell. We all made mistakes. We came out on the right edge, because now we all pardon. We got a second chance. I said, let's do it. Pardon me, security. So we formed an LLC, Pardon Me Security. I'm thinking Pardon Me Security is once you register with the state of Connecticut, hey, Pardon Me Security. This is what it is. We got a tax ID number. This is everything like, you know, tax ID. So we was providing services for like local establishments using Pardon Me Security. So with this legal, so I am a social equity applicant as well with this billion-dollar industry in marijuana that just came out. We all know this. Billion-dollar industry. Yeah, billion-dollar industry. So I applied for a license. For whatever reason, we didn't get the license, but I'm very connected in that industry as well. And those that did get the license were like, well, we're looking for third-party security companies to provide protection for certain areas of a business. So you guys are more than welcome, you know, to submit applications or, you know, submit applications to be a part of this industry. If we couldn't get in it one way, we could get in it through the security way. So this is why I'm thinking, is by you know, the attorney said illegal. I don't think it's illegal. I mean, once you register with the state, right, your name is on paperwork, how is it illegal? I don't know, but you can maybe help me understand that. But like I said, so with my firearm situation, great officer, him and his partner was very humble, respectful. They came, I told them the situation. I was at a show in Hartford. I put my firearm in my glove compartment. I was at a hip hop concert. I'm a big hip hop fan. I love music, all genres of music. I'm coming home from the show. I get off the Merritt. I'm in Hampton, Connecticut, at a light. There's someone here. I think I explained this to him a little bit. I don't know if they put it in a report. But I'm at the light going home, and all of a sudden, this motorist just ran my vehicle and just shoots down Dixwell Avenue. I'm going, damn. 2 o'clock in the morning, Hampton is always out. They always got officers out. Mind you, I have my firearm on my car, but I'm not thinking about that shit because you ran and you, I'm sorry for using the language, but I have a lot of passion when I'm speaking. He hit the car. I'm like, damn, where's Hampton cops at? They don't see this man throwing 100 down Dixwell Avenue? Like, you know what I mean? Vocally. So I get home. I grab my belongings. I go upstairs. Thinking I'm locking my vehicle. My vehicle. Boom. I'm upstairs. The next morning, my community, by the way, there are a lot of people that leave their cars unlocked in the community. So a lot of people's cars has been vandalized, taken advantage of. So this specific person, his signature is he goes in, he or she goes in, take your paperwork out, leave it all on the front seat of your vehicle, like, I got you, pretty much. So there has been a lot of cars in my neighborhood that was broken into or robbed before. Personal belongings have been taken. So I lost, and my firearm was there, my firearm was gone, and that's when I contacted them. So when I contact these guys, they take the report down, him and his business partner, write the report, they come back with a summons. I'm like, yo, what is this? This is a form of an arrest. What is this? Again, I have people that I know things. Well, you gotta go to court, don't miss this court. I'm like, yo, but my vehicle was just, but come to find out, what is it, 28-32? That's the new law that was, I'm like, I never knew about this law right here. So I researched it and said, oh, okay. And then it kind of described, like, I drive an AT4 GMC Canyon. It doesn't have a lock on the glove compartment. As he witnessed it, he saw it for himself. It doesn't. Brand new car. So as I'm reading the law, the guidelines, they talked about how if you have a pickup truck, you can't leave your pistol inside the bed of the vehicle. So I'm learning this. I'm learning because it's new. I never knew about this specific law that just passed. So I did speak to a couple of officers. They was just like, next time you should have a portable safe with you, this, that, and the third, to be able to store your firearm in this situation. And that's pretty much it. So as far as in the work thing, we have opportunity. We have opportunity lined up. Now, as far as in the security situation, honestly, when you have more credentials, then you're able to negotiate whatever you need to negotiate in regards to finances, like in regards to money. Just a regular, no disrespect to a regular security guard officer at all, minimum pay. Nah. No disrespect to them at all. Respect it, but nah. But with this firearm situation, with my three other business partners, they all legally armed. They all have their pistol permit. And we all transitioned into blue cards as well. And with this opportunity, I mean, like I said, human error was made. Human error is made every day. It becomes a problem when it's repetitive. In this situation, it was just a human error that was made. I do hold myself accountable. But it's just a human error that was made. And I'm just looking for this opportunity so I could just move on with my life and lock in these situations with my business partners and support my family how my family needs to be supported. I have two young men. I have an 8-year-old, I have a 13-year-old, 14-year-old that's going to high school. My 8-year-old's going to fourth grade. trying to better their futures as well. And I feel as though with my pistol permit, that just brings on more additional finances to what I have going on. So again, like I said, with the illegal, I don't think it's illegal, but if you can explain to me, because if you Google Pardon Me Security, it's gonna come up with my name and my three other business partners' name. Thank you.
Was that a question?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have more questions?
So yes, going back to what we were discussing earlier, it sounds like you are registered as an LLC in the state of Connecticut, and it sounds like you didn't realize that you also need a special license to run a security business in the state.
Oh, no, see, that I didn't know.
Okay. There's a statute, it's Connecticut General Statutes 29-161G.
I'm sorry, do you guys have like a pen so I can write this down? Please.
I can actually give it to him from our packet when we're done. I think it's spelled out in there, the whole...
Yeah, I believe so. Thank you.
I'll just take it out of my packet.
So if I read correctly, Mr. Pellant, you and your business partners established Pardon Me Security in 2021.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes.
So have you specifically been providing security services for hire in the last couple of years?
Yeah, we like local establishments, things of that nature, like, you know, local establishment, like... entertainment venues, things of that nature, getting a certain dollar amount by the end of the week, of course. Yes, we've been doing that, yes.
Okay, but you testified that you don't have a current security guard card from the state of Connecticut, right?
Yes.
You do not have a current card?
No, okay. I don't.
And you also don't have a blue card endorsement at this
Absolutely
time?
Absolutely not.
So have you been providing security services while armed in the past couple of years?
Yes, well, no. We are armed, but at the establishments, at the local venues, I mean, our firearms is on us. We can carry a firearm on your person, but as far as in displaying anything, no. But we have provided services, yes.
Okay. So going back to the prior revocation, the first time your pistol permit was revoked, did you refer to a domestic incident, a family violence type incident?
Yeah, I call it a misunderstanding. I know it's a DV, but I call it a misunderstanding.
Okay. So a protective order was issued against you as a result of that case, right?
Yes, and I can explain that to you as well. It was called a SCRO, standing criminal restraining order. Yes, I wonder why she did it. While we were going to court, the judge indicated for us to stay apart from one another. Yes, okay, Your Honor. I've been living in one specific place for 25 years right now. This individual who was involved in the situation lives, this is my house. She lives here. So there's no way we're not going to see each other. We can stay away from each other. We can't do that, absolutely. But there's no way we will not be able to see each other. So I feel as though the standing criminal restraining order was done out of malice. Malice meaning spiteful. Because after the relationship was over, she could witness other females come into my place. When I was in court, after the sentence was given, the words from the prosecution in regards to the victim was, I want to make sure he has his pistol permit revoked. That sounded to me, she didn't care about nothing else. I just want him to have his pistol permit revoked. And of course, with the charge, the assault third, of course, that's gonna happen. That's going to happen, of course. So as life went on, this same individual, who actually is the daughter of an attorney who passed away a few years ago, the law firm was right across the street from my house. Father passed away, left her with nothing. She became homeless. Her and her kids became homeless. Even with this scroll that was still standing on me, and I'm telling y'all this before y'all because there's no lying in me. I provided a roof for her and her children, even though there was a scroll, because I didn't want to see her in the street. That was the good within me. The good within me. A homeless woman. Here it is, you took out, you put a scroll on me, you took me to court, you wanted my license to be revoked, which happened, but when you became homeless, you and your kids had nowhere to go, I gave you my apartment and moved in with my kid's mom at the time, while you guys can utilize my place until y'all got on your feet. Her baby boy right now just recently graduated and became a correctional officer. Loves me to death. Thank me for providing a roof over his head, because I did just that. That was the right thing to do, even though we had this misunderstanding going on. So then when I got my pardon, all that became null and void. Is that the right word to say? It's no longer exists no more. And right now to this day, her and I are still the best friends. We are still best friends right now to this day. We don't physically deal with one another, but we are still best friends to this day. And then with the second revocation, prosecution felt as though it was a mistake. Can you please take another NRA, National Rifle Association course, submitted so we could dismiss this matter? I did just that. I don't know if you guys have that paperwork, but I did submit it to Nancy. I did that. The paperwork was there. The case was dismissed. And this is why I'm here, so I could just try to move on with my life. That's just the bottom line.
So, Mr. Appellant, regarding that standing criminal restraining order,
yes,
that was in place for about 12 years, right?
Yeah.
Until you received your pardon.
And within that range, she moved away to Atlanta, Georgia, so she was no longer around me anyway. You know what I mean? She moved away, but then she came back when her father passed away. And of course, I did what I did. When they lost the home, Dad didn't leave anything. She has four kids. She has an older daughter, three young men. The oldest daughter was down south. The three young men were here. Her and her youngest boy was in and out of shelters. In and out of shelters. When you're in the shelter, of course you guys know that they provide a program for you. They provided a program called RAP, which they pay your rent for a whole year. But she needed the deposit in order to move into place. And of course, who provided the deposit? Me. With whatever was going on, I provided the deposit. Here you go, get your apartment, live. They lost the RAP voucher.
We're going way down
Right here. I was giving you a story.
I know, but we got another case. So just try to answer the question
okay. Specifically.
Okay, good.
I actually have no further questions at this point for this witness. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, thank you.
Does the board have any questions?
I actually initially thought you said the order was 12 years, 2008 to 2020.
2021, yes, sir.
Determine when the last time you violated that order?
I never did.
Well, you did. Oh. You had her living with you. When was the last time that happened?
So I volunteered that. Oh, that was years ago. That was some years ago.
Some years ago. Was it 2020, 2021?
It was like probably 16, 18, something like that.
The issuing authority is not aware of any convictions for violating any protective orders?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, he testified that he violated it. I know you didn't.
When was the pardon?
Huh?
When was your pardon?
2 years ago. 2 years ago? 3 years ago? I also got the COE? Certificate of Employability. I had that in place first. And then I got the pardon as well.
Other questions? Other witnesses? Attorney Smitty.
Yeah. How frequently did you have your gun in the glove box?
Not frequently.
Well, how many times about?
Three or four times, maybe.
Okay, and do you think it's a good idea to keep a gun in an unloaded glove compartment in an unlocked car?
Absolutely not. I was like when I explained to you when I was coming from the show, I think that the guy that just rammed mm-hmm. into me for whatever reason, mm-hmm. like just threw me off. So I'm mm-hmm. just like, damn.
Right.
Like,
but the other times it was left in the car. Nobody hit your car.
No. I never really left it in the car like that. No, I'm sorry. No, I never left it in the car like.
You said you left it in the car three or four times.
Yeah. But not like to whereas in overnight. It wasn't overnight. It was in a vehicle. If I'm around, it wasn't overnight.
Well, you understand.
Yes, yes.
You never leave it unlocked.
Yes, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, because that's the kind of thing that really concerns this board, because that's how guns end up on the street.
Absolutely. And like I said, attorney, I do hold myself accountable. I'm very remorseful for that, for being irresponsible in that way. Like I said, I know I was thrown off from coming from a show. A guy just ran my vehicle for whatever reason. He doing
We understand that, but the bottom line is, you left a gun in an unsecured place and it's out on the street somewhere. And that's hard to justify.
And it is.
Right.
I'm holding myself accountable.
I got you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Did you say you thought you locked the truck or the car?
Locking my vehicle, but I'm not thinking that, just locking my vehicle.
And then you later testified, I think, that you made a mistake that night.
What mistake?
I thought you said you realized you made a mistake.
No.
You didn't say, okay.
Yeah, just real quick. On the security company, when was that formed?
2021.
Okay, right after you got your pardon, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And you had a previous blue card.
I did.
Yep, that was part of the revocation.
Yes.
So you were aware of the necessity to have a blue card to do armed security?
Absolutely.
100%?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yes.
then I'm a little confused why you didn't realize, without the blue card, how are you running a security company?
Realistically, when you're doing security at local, like, I'm pretty sure local venues have individuals that don't have, licensed.
You didn't think you needed it?
I didn't know. It's not that I don't care, because I always care.
Well, it's sort of like you said,
it's like I didn't think we needed that.
Because any business opens up, you go to a barber, they got the license on the wall from the state. You go to the woman who runs the nail salon. The number of licenses that I run a gun store and a gun range.
Okay.
The number of licenses I have to have and have to abide by.
Absolutely.
So
I didn't think that, though.
Again, it's... you're starting a business, you're going to be a business owner, an entrepreneur, which is very admirable. You and your partners, four of you getting together, starting the business, and you just left it at that. And now you're starting to work, without really looking into it.
Yeah, doing local.
Yeah, but I mean, you did it and just, LLC'd, and it almost feels like, we're close enough, or... You didn't spend the time and the research into
pretty
doing
much,
it, especially
yeah.
when you already had the blue card.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
That's the only thing I had.
So. Yeah, pretty much.
Did you ever hear the saying, ignorance of the law is not an excuse? But now we have two instances here.
Ignorance of the law.
So there's two laws here that we're dealing with. There's a law about keeping your firearm secured that you realized after the firearm had been stolen, and then there's the law about operating a security company, which is a different law, and you've said that you didn't know about either one. So that saying means just because you don't know is not an excuse. So really, even though the law was new as somebody possessing a permit and a firearm, it's your responsibility to know the law. And it's not an excuse that you didn't know it just because that's
Absolutely.
All. Okay.
Absolutely. I hold myself accountable.
Just going forward, that's just it's upon you to know what laws apply to what you're doing.
And like I said, once I was hit with the summons, I was like, wow, this is the law, you get arrested for this?
Yep.
Like, okay.
Other witnesses?
No, thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Sir, you've said a lot. Is there anything else you'd like us to know?
Like I said, I'm just hopefully, the board could vote in my favor. I'm just looking to move on in my life. You guys gave me some good pointers in regards to getting a license for the company, which I will tell my partners, that we have to have a license in order to pursue what we need to pursue in regards to employment with other companies, things of that nature. I do hold myself accountable. I am deeply remorseful for this situation. If given this opportunity, I can tell you, I can guarantee you, it will never happen again. Human error was made, and that's pretty much it. Thank you, guys.
Any other questions?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Other questions by the board? I used to one question that's sticking out to me is you said there was a lot of break-ins at,
in the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood?
Yeah.
That didn't like stick out in your mind that there's a firearm,
I mean,
and
it was, yeah, but it, like, my firearm wasn't intentionally left there, man.
I get that.
It just wasn't. I was just, like I said, it wasn't intentionally left there. Trust me. It was not intentionally left there. I was thrown off from the evening. I just came not partying, but listening to hip-hop, and the guy ran me, and, you know, just so happened I went upstairs, and I'm thinking everything is what it is, and I come back down with it, and the firearm's gone. It wasn't left there intentionally at all. It was a human error, which I explained to the officer.
Yep.
Like
yep.
I said,
yep.
Him and his partner was were like the best officers, you know. They weren't snotty or anything. They just, you know, came and he just told me, here's a summons, just make sure you go to court. And I was just like, summons? Like, all right. So then I called my attorneys.
Yep.
Me and my attorneys
yep.
went to court.
Yeah, we know.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah.
I just speak with passion, no, man. That's all, man. That's, you know, like I said, I apologize again.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yeah, that was
it.
Yeah,
just gotta ask.
Yeah,
all right.
I appreciate you guys.
Yep.
Your time.
Yep. Attorney Ayers.
Thank you, ma'am. Board members, I just want to show some respect for the appellant for coming before you today and showing as much candor as he has. I think it's clear from his speech that he's passionate about his community and serving his community, and of course about his business with his fellow business partners. The issuing authority is very concerned about this appellant engaging in security work, especially armed security work, not just without the proper licensure, but just in general. It's a dangerous business. Certainly talking about moving into the marijuana business, that can also be very dangerous for the security guards. And not that having a license would protect them necessarily from what they may run into in the course of their work, but it helps the department keep tabs on who's performing, especially armed security work in the state, making sure that all their paperwork is current and up to date, that all their training is up to date, more importantly. And to the extent that the appellant wasn't aware before, you can make these applications online, just downstairs at Special Licensing and Firearms, the same place you would get a state-issued pistol permit,
mm-hmm.
also issues these security guard cards and blue card endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
The appellant testified today that he was pardoned for, I believe he said, a felony conviction related to narcotics sales.
Absolutely.
So a felony conviction can trip one up trying to get a security guard card, but a pardon makes that huge difference.
Absolutely.
Makes the entire difference there.
Absolutely.
As well as a certificate of employability can also help, so don't let those things hinder you in applying for the proper licensure to carry on your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
This appellant was discussing with the board a prior alleged domestic violence incident, and he spoke about a standing criminal restraining order that was in place for approximately 12 years, which is a relatively long period of time for a protective order. While the issuing authority greatly appreciates the appellant's candor today, the issuing authority remains concerned about the items in the appellant's past that we've discussed, some of the choices that he's made, when he certainly had the information to know better, at least in the instance of security guard licenses. So for all of those reasons, the issuing authority does respectfully request that the board uphold its revocation of this appellant's pistol permit at this time.
Thank you, counsel. Brief factual?
Sure. The appellant contacted the New Haven Police Department in September of 22. He had found paperwork from his glove compartment scattered on his seat. Realized that the handgun he had put in there the night before had been stolen. He believed he had locked his pickup truck while walking to his house, but there was no lock on the glove compartment itself. where he stored the firearm. He was issued a summons for the unlawful storage, just a misdemeanor summons. He went to court. Looks like he, by taking another NRA safety class, the prosecutor dismissed the charges. The appellant testified candidly at length about some arrests from 2008 for a couple-year period. There was even a felony arrest for his own testimony for narcotic sales. Much to the appellant's credit, he obtained a pardon. All those charges were erased sometime around 2021. And the state, so the appellant asked for expedited hearing from this board regarding his employment as an armed security guard with the company. He is part of an LLC. The state, their due diligence determined that their LLC is not a licensed security company, and we discussed that in this hearing also.
Comments by the board? Seeing none. Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Overture.
I'm going to pass for 1 minute.
Colonel Lewis.
Appellant.
Chief Rosenzweig. Colonel Overture.
I'm going to say issuing authority at this time.
And chair votes issuing authority. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Last case.